powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, Jude, verse 19. Jude 19. All believers are in union with Jesus Christ. A moment of faith in Jesus Christ, they are incorporated into Christ, which means that they forever will share his destiny. All the things associated with being in union with Jesus Christ. Believers in time are to deal with their STAs and the sins they commit. They are to rebound. Hopefully today, nobody here today probably got through the day without a sin, unless you were in a coma. Push the rebound button, and you're back in fellowship. This is everything in the Bible that we study and learn about the will of God for our lives requires faith. Faith. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, what is required to confess, and it answers all those questions in the Bible, like commands to be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? You've got to know 1 John 1:9. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not necessarily filled with the Spirit. You were filled with the Holy Spirit the minute you believed in Christ, but you lost that real quick because you committed a sin, a known sin or an unknown sin. So rebound gets us in fellowship, and it enables us to be in sync with the Holy Spirit so that we can appreciate the information to be communicated to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Christ has overcome the doom of the world. We thank you for all of your promises and the prospect of the ultimate sanctification with Jesus Christ and participating in the eternal kingdom of God. Bless this Bible class to that end in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we continue to deal with a very real threat to believers through the church age, and that is false teachers. In the Old Testament, the Jews had to put up with false prophets that arose among their own midst. This was a very serious crime. In fact, in the law, there's a formula for ferreting out fake prophets. It has to do with in the tabernacle. I don't have it right in front of me right now. And if the right thing didn't happen, they're a false prophet, and they were to be executed because they're misleading the people. This is how serious God takes those that are actively misleading or trying to mislead believers. All right, concluding characterization. These are the ones who cause divisions. These, pronoun, demonstrative, houtos, these are, keep on being, present active, indicative of the to be verb, I me. These are the ones who cause divisions. Again, another word you'll only find here in your Greek New Testament. Apo diorizo. Strictly separate off by placing boundaries, cause divisions. It is used here, of course, in a negative sense. Worldly minded. The word worldly is not cosmos. It is the adjective in the plural, psychikos, natural. The natural man. The natural man is anybody who is a non-believer and is only dichotomous, body and soul. The believer is trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. So they've translated this worldly-minded. And to underscore that, we have devoid of the Spirit. Negative here with the word have not, the Spirit. The word Spirit here, I don't take this as the Holy Spirit, though that's true. the capital S on there, the reader thinks he's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not anything that would mislead anybody in any way, but he is minus the human spirit. That's why we, as believers, are trichotomous. One, for the third time, compare verses 12 and 16, Jude launches out with a contemptuous, these types. And, as in verse 17, he continues with, but you beloved. So here, he uses the same phrase in verse 20. What else can we have to say about the heretics, the false teachers, promoters of all kinds of ideologies, concepts, whether in the veil of religion or non-religion, it doesn't matter. This verse reveals a lot. He starts by using a very rare word and calls them the ones who cause divisions or who divide you or create divisions. It may be used, as in Aristotle, to mean the men that make distinctions, i.e. invidious distinctions between themselves and other people. They put themselves up as special types. So the word apodiorizo, found only here in the Bible, New Testament, denotes these so-called superior people who keep to themselves a manifestation of Christian Phariseeism. The verb means strictly to separate off by placing boundaries, hence set up distinctions or cause divisions. 9. The ways in which this divisiveness exhibited itself was that they probably found a clique of their own at the agape meals, in the early beginnings of this. Today they infiltrate Christian organizations, seminaries, schools, churches, denominations. They know who they are. And they come in there and they undermine anything that they can and promote their own ideas and agenda. We are protected from that because we are and we strictly adhere to a local church with one pastor teacher communicating information. We don't have any room for any of these types. And around a solid organization, they would be revealed real quick. I don't recall having to do that, but all I've had to do is warn believers about affiliations of people who are not committed to sound doctrine. And, of course, that has been ignored. They think they're better than that, or whatever they think. They don't think, not doctrinally. 10. They certainly despise the simple pastors set over the churches, verse 8, and attach themselves to the well-to-do, verse 16. Now, we go back in time, that's what they're doing. Things have changed, not in that the evil isn't there, it's just a different setup now. Now, on the whole, the rich would have been educated. Quote, it was out of the state of things that Gnosticism arose. A Gnostic, with a Greek word knowledge, they have special insight. They had special, whatever the source of it is, the Gnostic. It was the revolt of the well-to-do, half-educated bourgeoisie class, one author, Big, says. It was probably with a prototype of Gnosticism that we have to do with here. These men were arrogant because in their own minds they had arrived intellectually and spiritually. They were the elite. That is why they kept themselves to themselves. They were indeed very much like the Pharisees. And Jude deals with them like Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. He cut them no slack. He was on them. They were always trying to entrap him in his words, set him up. Never worked. They walked off with their tails between their legs and came back and tried another tactic. Any kind of tactics they can try to do to weasel in and affect the situation. But he was out in the public where he had to run into these people. The derivation of the name Pharisee probably means separated and denotes the exclusive people who divided themselves off. The Pharisees looked at themselves as better than the average rank and file Jew. And the people saw this. When people are high and mighty and this and that, super holy, not. People catch on to that. So they were spiritual bullies. As Jesus told them, they were indeed separated from God. They claimed to know. Yeah, you're separated, all right. You're separated from God. For all your religious trappings, your garb, your way of talking, putting on a show in public, putting whitewash on your face so you look like you were fasting. Can you believe that? Standing on street corners and praying out loud to impress passers-by. Very legalistic. Don't touch that. Don't do that. Blah, blah, blah. There was no grace in these people. None at all. And they were corrupt. Completely, totally corrupt. So, Mark 3:23. It's fun to do the Gospels. Mark was the last one we did it. It's not that long ago we did it. Gospel of Mark. I think I read this one, but again, the scribes, that they were associated with the Pharisees, who came down from Jerusalem were saying, this is what they're saying about Christ. He is possessed by Beelzebub. Beelzebub it's a name that they attach to Satan. And the word actually means Lord of the Flies. And you know what flies like to land on, don't you? But he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. So they're going to put down his casting out demons. There must have been. It tells you the state of the Jewish society at the time of Christ, that you would have a lot of Jews. Who were demon-possessed. Demonism runs rampant in a corrupt civilization like in ours. And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If his kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. This country is so splintered up, so divided up. Wow. And there isn't one man or one person that can unify it. Because it's in the souls of people to be this way. So if you're looking for a savior, you can forget it. God will just use who's ever in a position to advance his plan. He may do good things, may do bad things, combination thereof. So get your eyes off all this. It's interesting to watch the circus play out. But that's what it's doing. Oh, if we get him in there, we'll be okay. Yeah, right on. You know nothing about Bible prophecy, and you know what it takes to be good. What? To have a booming economy? Well, I can show you people in the Bible that had a booming economy, and they were just as corrupt as they could be. If that's the old criteria, then it's materialism. Okay. Excuse me. Here Jude does the same. They claim to be separated off. They're a special category. He agrees they are. Exclusiveness always hurts the exclusive man more than those from whom he separates himself. 24, it seems they despised the ordinary believer. The simple, ordinary believer going about his business, believing in the basic doctrine, they despised them and called themselves psychikoi, translated worldly-minded, men governed by the natural life in reality, not the spiritual life, pseudo-spiritual life, but not true spiritual life. True spirituality arises from knowing and acclimating to the directive will of God. That's true spirituality. And it comes in all the different packages of people are, personalities, and so forth. Outgoing, reserved, this, that. Highly educated, not so much. They themselves claim to be pneumatikoi, to have the fullness of the Spirit, and not bound by restrictions and inhibitions of ordinary Christians. Oh, really? They will tell you what's right and what's not, and what you ought to do, and so forth. We've covered this throughout there. They were the spiritual aristocracy, immune to the laws of conduct, which bound ordinary believers. So far from being filled and led by the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the Spirit at all. And those who do not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them are classified as unbelievers. Romans 8:9b. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Another short class is on the horizon. Sorry about that. No, I'm not that sorry. So the words devoid of the Spirit, or literally not having the Spirit, Be sure I got this right. All right, never mind. So the words devoid of the Spirit, or literally not having the Spirit, supports the position taken in the interpretation of 2 Peter and Jude that these heretics had never come to saving faith. How much damage unbelievers have done or are trying to do to believers. The designation worldly-minded, or better, natural men, is to be compared with 1 Corinthians 2:14, where Paul teaches that a natural man, psychikos anthropos, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them. Furthermore, I added that. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to be under the right teaching. And you have to be in fellowship for this to work. The unbeliever cannot put these things together. Oh, he can read the Bible. There was a flood. There's a Noahic flood. There's a so-and-so creation story. There's this, 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 and this. But he can't put it all together as to be able to benefit people. All human viewpoint is the product of the natural man's thinking apart from God. And there's a lot of human viewpoint, and you'll hear a lot of people express themselves with regard to topics, and you can chalk it up to human viewpoint. There's divine viewpoint, what God thinks and promotes, and there's human viewpoint about matters. Without doctrine, you cannot arrive at the divine viewpoint. And so the way people conduct themselves is a result of their being influenced by human viewpoint and their STAs. And he's telling these believers that you can't run around and act like in certain ways and do well. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing, because people are all trying to climb to the top, trying to get ahead. But the wisdom from above is first pure, it's uncontaminated, then peaceable. Those who have it live in peace and harmony with their fellow man, gentle, a gentle soul, reasonable. Some people are not reasonable. Reasonable, full of mercy, grace in action, and full of it towards others and one's own self. And good fruits, divine good production, which you learn about in Bible class. All the ways that you can produce good fruit. Going about your daily routine, in fellowship, and dealing with people and situations, good fruits. Unwavering, you're not flaky. Over here one time, then over here the other way. Unwavering. That's not a virtue. To give in to human viewpoint and misbehavior. Without phoniness, hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, using a plant analogy, is sown in peace by those who make peace. Striving to get along and be at peace with one another in the royal family first and others as well. The designation spiritual, see 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. We have the upper hand. We can evaluate situations insofar as you know the doctrine on the topic. He appraises all things. He marks it out as good or as not good. Yet he himself is appraised by no one. Oh, they will try to judge us. They'll try to evaluate us. But they don't have the doctrine to do it. So what their opinion and attitude is does not matter. They're not successfully appraised by anyone. That's the point of that. Believers out of fellowship are not experientially spiritual at that point and to whatever degree and all the rest of it. They're not, quote, spiritual. I'll just do one. I'll do the Galatians one. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, it's another term for sin. It means stepping out of line. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Not jumping down their throat, and oh, how could you, and away we go. in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself, so that you too will not be tempted, etc. The teachers who were insinuating themselves into the lives and communities of Christians were clearly counterfeit Christians, at best, fakes. The mystery cults, which for a time considered constituted a threat to Christianity, used language like this. A German scholar cites a prayer of the Mithras cult in which natural human ability is contrasted with the Holy Spirit conferred in the mystery. 37, is it not possible that the false teachers borrowed their invidious distinctions and the language that go with them from the mystery cults? 38, Jude saddles them with their own petard as he exploits the same terminology for orthodox ends. That's why we are enjoined, 1 John 4:1, not to believe every influence, every spirit, but examine or test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Does this line up with the doctrine you've been hearing? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and they may look real good superficially, but we always key everybody off to what the Word of God says about topics. That's what we're supposed to do. It's what we've been trained to do. So we can bring every thought into captivity for Christ and evaluate something, whether you're watching a TV program where the actors are espousing, they may be doing some of the right things, but then they espouse human viewpoint. God isn't even in it. We might admire the thing because they're following laws of divine establishment and trying to solve a crime. Okay, fine. But in their interpersonal things, they don't have the doctrine to cope with this stuff. They don't have that to orient to. That's why a lot of it would leave you cold. Really? In the kingdom of Christ on earth, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We won't have to hear a bunch of junk. And the truth will be widespread. And you won't have to compete with any of the rest of this mess that is so prevalent in our world today. The list goes on and on and on and on. That they're trying to sell Christians and the average person on. That's why our country has gone down into this spiral, this moral spiral. Even some of the older denominations have gone further down this path. Because they would graduate from these seminaries and they put these ministers up there in garb and all the rest of it with their and all this stuff. And so you evaluate, well, they're not teaching. They're not teaching this. They wouldn't touch it with a 20-foot pole. Or they're advocating something that's a complete opposite. Of course, they're going to try to employ some of the same terminology to try and trip up the unwary. That's all they got to do with their lives, huh? These types formulate their insidious teachings in very clever ways so as to sound orthodox and pat around believers. But when we look beneath the surface, we find the real theology. The surface is designed to lure people in, as with the Mormons and their ads in the past. I haven't seen any quite a while, but I don't watch TV, so I don't know if they even have any ads anymore. But this is a whole cult, a whole system that uses a whole bunch of terminology that's similar to Christianity, but it's all made up. Book of Mormon. It's something that's supposed to be a lookalike. And their presentation of who and what Christ is so far off the mark, it isn't funny. And just because they're a big organization and rule over Utah and have a big temple and all this mess. No. And if you go back and study their founders, you go, what? They were pathetic. And it hasn't changed. And there are Christians who have no doubt been sucked into it. Actual believers. So, a lot of organizations are reticent to publish the unvarnished version. But the truth as to what they really mean is unattainable. They've taken the Christian faith and done a number on it in different categories of doctrine. This is just everywhere. And we've had 2,000 years of human history to accumulate this mess. All these sects, divisions, and everything. And even those that claim even to be evangelical and conservative and are right about a lot of things. It's the things they won't teach and practice that kills them. Like right pastor, right congregation. Oh, that's out the window. And I got it all through the Bible. I got it here and there to document it, to see the doctrine of pastor-teacher. So the last days, we have a prophecy, they'll heap to themselves teachers. Moving around from one church to the next, bringing in, having an associate pastor. No. When I'm not able to be here, then we don't have class. We have a break. Various authors have done exposés on the cults. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.